Hello and welcome to the Florida CPA Today podcast with Mia Thomas, former chair of the FICPA and current director of learning curriculum development for the FICPA. And now it's time to hear from your host, Mia Thomas.
Thank you for joining us on today's podcast. Today we will talk about, does your limited liability company have a prenuptial agreement? Like, who would have thought of that, that your LLC needs a prenuptial agreement? So today I have with me Gerard Grant. He is a CPA and board certified tax attorney, a great friend of us and the FICPA. So Gerard, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Mia.
Yeah, so we so appreciate you. Gerard, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure, certainly. I work in Orlando at the law firm of Winderweedle, Haynes, Ward & Woodman, and we are located in Winter Park. My practice focuses on business and tax law, and I also represent taxpayers in disputes with the IRS and other state taxing authorities.
And I know that you have been a great resource for the FICPA. When I read your article, which was in the CPA Today magazine,
yes,
in our last issue, I was just so impressed at all of the stuff that we don't really think about.
Thank you.
I know one of the things you talked about is thinking about the formation of your entity, for one thing. I mean, there's a choice. You could be a corporation, a partnership, a sole proprietor, or an LLC. And I know this article really drilled down on the LLC part. Tell us a little bit about the article.
What I realize is that looking at statistics, it's shown that 35% of entities are forming as limited liability companies, followed by 33% as S corporations, followed by 12% corporations and sole proprietorships. LLCs are becoming very popular around businesses, and in many cases, we find that clients, they choose to form LLCs, but forming the LLC is one part of the step. The other step is having what we call an operating agreement, which really sets forth the terms and conditions as to how that LLC will operate.
Yes, and I know that I have seen where organizations will form an LLC and thinking, oh yeah, that's great, I went on SunBiz or my attorney set it up, but they don't do those things, those next steps, like, oh, what happens if we don't get along, or you know, what happens to those
right.
other things? So share with our listeners those next steps.
Well, usually we always recommend that when a business sets up an LLC or a client sets up an LLC, that they understand what they want and how the LLC to operate. I'll tell you that there are many instances where you have members that they don't agree on certain issues, and because of the fact that in the operating agreement it's not clearly spelled out how they would resolve it, that it ends up in litigation. And to prevent those instances from occurring, we always recommend that you have a very well thought out, well planned operating agreement that has at minimum some of those sections that I have outlined in my article, which I'll discuss further.
You're right. And again, you need to do this operating agreement in the beginning, not when y'all decide, oh, whoa, we have issues.
Yes, that's correct. Because in the event that there obviously are issues, the courts will use the default rules under the Florida Charter. And in many cases, that might not be advantageous to one of the members or, in fact, all the members involved.
Can you give us just a couple of things that really, really should be in this operating agreement?
Well, at first, in no particular order of importance, they should have a formation section. And the formation section should generally provide detail as to the name of the company, the members, and also include information on ownership structure. And ownership structure is determining whether or not the LLC will have either one class of units or more than one class of units. Mm-hmm. And this is also important for distributions and allocations of profits, and also for voting, which is a big component of having an LLC with multiple members.
So why would an organization have different types of members?
An organization or a member or an LLC will have different types of members or different classes of members, because in some instances, members might be passive, and if they're passive, they might not be entitled to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you'd want to separate those members that are passive investors as opposed to the other members that are actually doing the work and need to figure out which is the best method to move forward for the LLC's business. Mm-hmm. And sometimes having it where the non-passive members are not intimately involved with the actual business of the LLC, it may cause some stagnation with regards to making decisions for that business.
Before you get too much more into that, a lot of people don't realize that an LLC, you have to actually elect to how you want to be taxed, because you could be a partnership.
Yes.
You could be a corporation and then elect to be an S corporation. Or if you're a single owner LLC, you could be a sole, but that's not within the conversation of this podcast, but yes. Continue on.
But you know, Mia, that's an excellent point, because in many cases, when you do have an LLC that has more than one member, a multi-member LLC, it is important to determine whether that LLC will be taxed as either under the default rules as a partnership or making the election to be taxed as a corporation. Mm-hmm. And in terms of making that decision, I always advise my clients to sit and confer with their CPA to determine which tax status is best for them, because it's not only a one size fits all, depending on the industry and also depending on the, I guess, level of activity and I would say anticipation of that LLC. They need to sit down with their CPA to determine which tax status is best for them.
And would you have that written in the operating agreement?
I would have that written in the operating agreement, and also I would advise that if there is a decision to be made about the tax status of that LLC, that it is clearly outlined as to which member would be making that decision, or if it's not member managed, allocating or giving that manager of the LLC the responsibility to make that tax determination.
What other things should we consider in an operating agreement?
Another more important aspect of an operating agreement is to consider the management and voting. LLCs are either manager managed or they're member managed. And that's a very important distinction to make. If an LLC is member managed, essentially each member of that LLC has a vote. Now, if there are passive LLC members, it might not be advantageous for those passive LLC members to vote because they are not intimately involved as the active LLC members. Mm-hmm. So having a manager managed LLC provides that manager with the right to make certain decisions on behalf of the LLC. And in that operating agreement, you can also put limits as to what decisions that manager can make without the other members being advised.
And so would the manager be voted on to be the manager?
Yes, the manager would be voted on by the other LLC members. And also in that management section, it'll discuss topics such as how to remove the manager, when other managers can be added, what rights and obligations that manager has, and other powers that the manager has without having to confer with the other members.
Give us another one.
All right. And also with that voting is important. And with regards to having a properly detailed voting provision in the LLC, it would obviously avoid having voting deadlocks. And it contains information as to how the votes will be decided for sale of membership interests, protocols for meetings, also for proxy voting, which when you have an LLC with a lot of members, it's always hard to have each member vote in person.
Right.
So you want to have a very clearly detailed information as to how the LLC will vote on material items affecting its business.
Now, tell us if there's anything else that you might want to consider.
I would definitely consider that they have a section that obviously details the allocation of profits and losses. Mm-hmm. And that's important for many reasons. You will have situations where you have members that are putting in more capital than other members, or members that make loans to the company. And in the operating agreement, it should explain how the payment of debt versus the allocation of profits, then the ordering with
right.
which it will be made. And this is obviously to go back to your first point as to if you do set up an LLC, when should you have that operating agreement? and you want to determine the allocation of profits and repayment of debts and loans beforehand so that all the LLC members understand that, or they know when their priority payment should take place. And with that too, a capital contribution section is important. Capital contribution section should denote whether members can make monetary capital contributions or non-monetary capital contributions. A non-monetary capital contribution would be, for instance, if some member is providing services on behalf of the LLC, and in compensation for those services, they would be receiving membership interest. And this is important, obviously, to denote whether or not that would be acceptable, because in one instance, you might have a situation where a member contributes services to the LLC, and then other members, if they do want to contribute services and they're not entitled, or the LLC members vote that they should not contribute membership services, it can create, obviously, friction among members. So you want to have that clearly outlined whether or not the LLC will take non-monetary capital contributions up front.
So an example of that could be accounting services.
Yes.
Or legal services.
Yes.
That could be calculated based on what it would have been at an arm's length transaction if someone had paid for that.
That's correct. And also determining whether or not those membership interests will vest after a certain period of time, or whether that member will actually have the value of those membership interests upon completing the services. It's very complex as to how granular you want to make your operating agreement depending on the type of business and the parties involved.
Now, I know one of the most important things that I've seen in an operating agreement is the dissolution of
Yes.
the entity. So in this operating agreement, what would you put in there?
For dissolution, I would make sure that it clearly defines the ordering of how the winding down of the business will occur. In some instances, you have cases where the LLC will dissolve because the members, quite frankly, can't get along with each other because one member was selling his interests and the other members don't want outside mm-hmm. persons mm-hmm. becoming a member in an LLC. That's why having a membership change provision in that operating agreement is very important. But for dissolution, it should outline the order of how the debts of the company will be repaid, the assets, how that's going to be distributed. It also describe when the LLC will still remain to continue in operation until those winding down affairs have been taking place. So that's obviously another critical component of the LLC agreement, is the dissolution provisions.
So Gerard, can you give us some takeaways for our listeners?
Absolutely, Mia. What I would do is encourage CPAs and accountants to periodically encourage their clients to review their operating agreements. As new tax laws change, their operating agreements should reflect those changes appropriately.
Mm-hmm, like a checkup. You should always have an annual checkup.
Exactly, exactly. And I'd also suggest that CPAs can also become actively involved by, if they anticipate changes to their client's business or any type of anticipation of profit, increase in profits or loss, and that might also incur changes with new members being added or members leaving, that they should make those appropriate changes and consult a professional who is qualified to make those changes with the operating agreement. So in closing, I would like to thank you, Mia, and also the FICPA for having me. And also just to note that the views and the information expressed is of mine and not of the firm.
Yes, so thank you again, Gerard. We appreciate you. As we said, communication is key, and a prenuptial agreement is super important because, just like any relationship, a marriage,
yes.
You know, talking to your kids,
yes.
this communication is so vital. So thank you, Gerard, for explaining to us the importance of this operating agreement that an LLC should have. How can people get in touch with you to get more information?
To get in touch with me, I can be reached at email at Grant, G-R-A-N-T, at whww.com, or I can be reached via direct dial at 407 246-6578. Or you can find me on my law firm's website by logging on to www.whww.com.
Gerard, you are such a great resource for the CPAs, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you.
And your articles and being part of our webinars and seminars that we have. So thanks again, and we look forward to hearing more from you. If you'd like to get more information and resources on this topic of operating agreements and LLCs, visit our website at www.ficpa.org or call our office at 850-224-2727. Until next time, keep smiling.
Continue the conversation with the Florida Institute of Certified Public Accountants. Become a member and follow us on social media for today's trends and hot topics.